It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis to the program from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm delightful, fellas. How are you today?
Doing outstanding. How are the efforts going from your part to single-handedly save the Bears from moving from Chicago to Indiana?
You know, I think there's still a lot of feeling that it's all still a lot of power play by the Bears, trying to put themselves in as strong a position as possible to negotiate with the city and get a deal where the city and state pay for the stadium, yet they somehow reap all the profits.
Yes.
And, you know, that's really a noble effort on their part and really, you know, really endearing with the fan base and with just people in general. So I congratulate them on their overwhelming greed and desire for it.
Yeah,
so they may end up moving, but we'll see.
Seems to be going well on that front. We'll see what happens there. Go ahead,
yeah,
Joe.
You know,
well,
yeah.
I do want to ask about this, and I think you've actually said something to this effect, Corey, but it's good. Obviously, there's tons of jokes to be had, the Hammond Bears and all this stuff, right? But like for people who, for people who live in the city, for example, for a lot of them, Hammond is, first of all, there's plenty of other NFL franchises that, you know, obviously the key being, the big example being the Jets and Giants, who are the New York Giants, yeah. And they play in New Jersey. There's also, you know, the San Francisco 49ers play in Santa Clara. Yeah. I think there's a couple others, but it's actually it's closer. Like if you live in the city, it's closer than the other one is Arlington Heights, right?
Arlington Heights. Yes, and that's probably further for some people than Hammond is. Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing is the Chicagoland area is a huge area. You know, sure. if you're talking about going from Lake Forest where the Bears practice to Hammond, that's a haul.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a haul. I remember, you know, Arlington Heights' most famous resident, Walter Payton, lived in Arlington Heights.
Mm.
Look, if you move it out of town either way, I mean, if you move it east, because, look, if you move east from Chicago, you're in Indiana. It literally, it's like Cincinnati and Kentucky, okay, or Charlotte in South Carolina, okay?
Right, right.
It borders right on there. So if you move east from Chicago, you're in Indiana. You may only be a mile outside of Chicago, but you would be in Indiana. And so, you know, that's, I think, one area where some of it gets lost. And believe me, I'm not defending the move at all. But I'm just saying geographically, you know, you can sit here and you can poke holes in it, right? Because you can be 1 mile out of Chicago and be in Indiana, where I grew up in the suburbs here. And I don't know, I was, what, like 15 miles away from downtown. But I was still in Illinois and not in Cook County. I was in DuPage County. But yeah, there's plenty of other teams that don't do it. I mean, L.A. is not technically in L.A.
Yeah, it's in Inglewood, right.
Dallas is not in Dallas. Where are they, in Frisco?
Yeah, way east.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, no, it's not unusual for teams to not actually be in the city that they were in or are in. I apologize. I'm in the city right now. The subway is going by.
No, you're good.
The location's iconic, okay? The location's iconic. And, you know, you talk about certain teams, and yes, I understand New York and Dallas. Those teams are fabric of the society. Chicago is and always will be a Bears town, first and foremost. I mean, I was at the Cubs game last night, and it's packed, and they suck again. But, everybody loves the Cubs. Everybody loves the Bulls. You know, it's a good hockey town, despite what the last 15 years have been like or so. But the heart and soul of the town is the Chicago Bears, and that's what's tough to come to grips with. You know, and I know the mayor deserves some blame on this, you know, as we've seen mayors have in the past. But I think, you know, I think there's a fair amount of greed in play here. And, you know, and that's not unusual in this day and time from all aspects.
No.
But it's tough. It's tough when billionaires cry poor, right?
Yeah.
Rather, they don't want enough. I mean, and I don't know what the Bears have brought to the table financially. I don't. I mean, like with the Titans, I know Amy brought, what, $850 million to the table? And from everything we've heard, she liquidated everything she could to get there. So, you know, for people who think that she didn't bring anything to the table, and I'm not saying her just defending her, but I'm saying there was an effort on the Titans' part to bring as much money to the table as they could. And with the Bears, I just don't think that this ownership group has done anything to make people feel like they're doing everything they can to try to help the city and help the state, you know, create something that's a legacy here in the city. They're just looking for the best deal they can. They're very much like Jerry Reinsdorf right now, which is not someone you want to be compared to.
So, Corey, on the Titans front, we were batting this around earlier. What are you more confident in if you're a Titans fan heading into this year? Is it Robert Saleh and his tenure with the Jets being a fluke and him being actually a good coach and not a 20-36 head coach? Or is it Cam Ward taking a massive leap from year one to year two? What where would Corey Curtis land in terms of that scenario, and which one's more plausible to you?
I'd bet on the quarterback just because that's who he's been. You know, every step of the way where he stepped up in competition, he's gotten better. I think, you know, he's got better weapons this year. I think Brian Daboll is going to be a far superior play caller and designer for him. You know, I know Robert Saleh had challenges in New York with the quarterback situation, and that position has taken down more than a handful of coaches in the NFL. But we'll see what he's got. He also had, you know, missteps there that, you know, we could talk about, you know, distractions that he fell into that really had nothing to do with winning and losing. And so, you know, we'll see how he handles it. But I think Cam Ward, you know, from what I saw the second half of last season when they actually ran the football, you know, you saw his touchdown to interception ratio change dramatically. You saw his sack numbers fall dramatically once they started running the football. So I feel like, you know, and that's with Mike McCoy. Okay. Mike McCoy made Cam take a leap the second half of the season. I think Brian Daboll can make him take a leap as well. I'm confident in that.
So I hear what you're saying there with Saleh. You mentioned the distractions. Is that, if there's something that he needs to learn from / improve, and we know that he is now calling plays, so that's something that he felt he needed to change, but would that be it, the just handling the public aspect of this job better?
Well, I mean, I think coaches can get distracted by, like I said, stuff that's not important. You know, who are you texting? Who are you emailing? You know, what are these people saying about me? Winning and losing cures all that stuff. It cures all of it. You're not losing games, you know. Now, look, if you've got coaches who are turning on you or stabbing you back, that's a problem. You know, that's totally a problem. But that means you didn't hire the right people. But you know, look, if you go out and you execute and you win games and you play well, none of that stuff is ever a problem. That's only stuff that comes up for teams that lose and are losing, and so. Keep your eye on the ball, which is winning football games. I think that's the big thing. And, you know, when you're losing, everything gets amplified. I get that. Believe me, we've had plenty of amplification here the last few years. But, yeah, just keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the players and keep your eye on putting them in position to succeed. And that would be my big thing. And you know, I've seen paranoid coaches. And, you know, look, are there paranoid coaches who've been successful? Yeah. But those guys had really good players. And you can be a paranoid wackadoodle when you win and nobody cares, right?
Oh, yeah.
So winning and losing cures everything. And I would just, that's what I said, just focus on that. Focus on the guys, putting them in position, making sure they're happy, making sure they're, you know, don't worry about us. And I'm not saying this to put down the fans. Don't worry about the fans, because all they really care about is you winning games. And if you're not winning games, no matter what you say or do, they're going to be angry. I mean, how many times did we hear with Mike Vrabel when he was winning from fans, go get him, Vrabel. Yeah. You tell the media, go get him. And then once they started losing, you guys need to hold Mike Vrabel's feet to the fire on this. I mean, that stuff is so fickle and so dependent on which way the wind blows. You can't control it. The only thing you can control is winning and losing. That should be the only focus.
All right, Corey, last thing for you here. I feel like based on a lot of Predators fans that I've talked to, people that I know have followed the team for a long time, the hiring of Chris McFarland kind of feels like a shot in the arm to the fan base, like it's a turning of a page, it's a new era, it's all those things. So I think there's a level of excitement that's kind of coming with that with Predators fans. Do you sense the same thing? What's kind of your read on Chris McFarland and the hire that the Predators have made?
Well, I think everybody's of the same opinion that you look at the hire and you say, yeah, this is a good candidate. I mean, you can't argue with this candidate. I mean, he is immensely qualified for the position. That does not guarantee results, but it's immensely qualified for the position. You know, and I think people – and I think, you know, look, this the last 2 years haven't gone their way, but I think we would say largely the Preds have been an overachieving franchise at times. Because they have never been able to land their Steven Stamkos in the draft. And so they've managed to put some things together. But the other thing is they've underachieved in drafting scoring. And that is just something that they've never been able to do. And I think people didn't want to reward 25 years of the same shortcomings of the team by bringing in another portion of that, so I think people wanted to go outside and get a fresh look and get fresh ideas. And believe me, I am all about that. I've had to hire people in the past. I've had internal candidates and I've wanted to go outside because I want somebody who has a different point of view who can teach me something new. So I think after 25 plus years, people were ready. They were ready for something different. Now, is that going to be successful or not? I don't know. And I don't think you can look at this hire and they said they did it just to be different. They waited and they got the guy they wanted, and the guy's immensely qualified. Now you just cross your fingers and hope it works.
Corey Curtis with us every Monday morning here on the program. Corey, great stuff. Thank you for your dedication to our program, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you. Hey, by the way, a stellar performance by Robbie Stanley last night on Sports Extra.
Thank you very much.
Nice.
I very much appreciate it.
Yeah, a stellar performance by me, considering I wasn't there. But
well, I mean, that's even more impressive, I think. You're just kind of selling yourself short in all this.
Neither of us were actually there.
Robbie ran the whole show?
No. We recorded
Robbie ran the whole show?
No. No. That would be Julian. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, way to go, Julian. Nice job. Good job. Corey, enjoy
Julian,
yourself.
I'm going on vacation. You enjoy
You're
yourself.
You're in charge. That's right. Thank you, Corey.
Later, guys.
Corey Curtis with us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We will react to what Corey had to say, throw the question back out there. What are you more confident in as a Titans fan? Robert Saleh figuring it out in stop two, or Cam Ward taking a big jump this year from year one to year two? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Check them out at greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Corey Curtis from News 2 for being with us in the last segment. Some reaction to that, some reaction to Rex Road being robbed over the weekend. Somebody on the text line, Joe, said they got their entire car stolen from at a gas station, so at least it wasn't that.
Yeah, poor Kelton was like, I went in, paid, came out, and all I saw was tail lights. Like, geez, okay.
It's not good.
I feel better, but I feel bad for you.
Yeah. It's not good.
People wanted to put it on the social. Yeah, lock your locks and buy some Glocks. Okay, we got some. Yeah. Yeah, PK could probably have some fun with that one. But, yeah. Yeah, it was freaky. No doubt.
It was. It's crazy. Still the wildest video I think I've ever seen. The question that we've thrown out there, what are you more confident in if you're a Titans fan? Is it Robert Saleh figuring it out as a head coach from stop one to stop two? or Cam Ward taking a big jump this year in his second year as a quarterback. You know, Saleh, 20-36 as Jets head coach. We've gone through that tenure in detail. You know, we know all the problems with the Jets. We know the people that have been in prominent positions with the New York Jets that both before and since things have gone pretty well in their careers. But maybe during with the New York Jets, it wasn't very good. Maybe that's the case with Saleh. Maybe it is as simple as you're with the New York Jets and it's just hard to overcome that dumpster fire of a franchise. But the bottom line is right now there's a .357 winning percentage attached with your head coach. So that's got to get better, or he's just not going to be a head coach very long. I think we all know that. Meanwhile, you're Cam Ward, you're entering into year two. It was a tough year one for a variety of different reasons. Number one, your team wasn't very good. You didn't have a lot of help offensively. You had a coaching staff that got fired, you know, 6 or 7 games into the season, whatever it was. You had an injury that you had to deal with at the end of the year. It was a tough year for Cam Ward. And mixed into all that were some performances that were good, some moments in games that were good, and a lot of moments that you looked at and you said, eh, some rookie growing pains, some accuracy issues, some decision-making issues at times. So that's got to improve, obviously, pretty dramatically as he moves forward here. So, Joe, I ask you, of those two options, Saleh figuring things out from job one to job two, or Ward taking a pretty significant jump this year in year two as a quarterback, what do you think is more likely? What do you have more confidence in if you are a Titans fan?
I differ from Corey on this. I think it's solid just in terms of what's more likely. What are the better odds? I think someone who has been in this league, has done that job for multiple years, has done a job that is just a step below at a very high level. And also, by the way, has come in and he's been able to me, especially with the defensive front, really fortify things. He came in already with the best player on the team. It plays there. And then he added some really good pieces. He's in charge of the defense. He was able to hire a proven OC and quarterback developer. But I just think all those things make it more likely that, like, Saleh can now they both go hand in hand, right? Like is Saleh going to be a better head coach if Cam Ward stinks?
Then probably not.
He may do everything great and it won't matter, right? But if we're separating these things, of course they're intertwined, they're tied together. But if we separate these things, then yeah, I would have a higher amount of confidence in Saleh sort of, you know, I don't know about rehabilitating is the right word, but
evolving, know, moving on, like he's gotta get better. Yeah.
Improving and demonstrating that he's a head coach in this league and can be a successful head coach than I would in Cam taking this big jump. And again, it's the hardest, as hard as a job as it is sure to be a head coach of any sort of team, I think the hardest single job in sports is trying to be an NFL quarterback, and it's why so few of them come close to what people think they are when they get drafted out of college. So few of them, I mean, you know, every once in a while you'll have someone who actually exceeds expectations, but the vast, vast majority come up way short of expectations.
I would agree. I think it's the most difficult part of all this is, you know, the other part, like, what does big jump mean? I mean, I would define that from Ward as going from 59.8% completion percentage to somewhere in the mid-60s, going from 15 touchdown passes to somewhere near 30, right? Somewhere, I mean, you're taking care of the ball. You're not fumbling as much as he did last year. You're not missing as many gimmies as he missed last year. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. But I think it's the most difficult thing in sports to do. I mean, everybody, think about all the money that's flowing around the league, that's flowing around the NFL. We talked about it earlier. Like, everybody's competing with the NFL. And they're not even in the same stratosphere, these sports leagues, right? There's money everywhere. And they're growing every year, and they're doing all this international stuff. And quarterbacks, I mean, you're going to start to see quarterbacks routinely get paid in the $60 million plus per year range because that's how important it is. Like, it's the most important position in all of sports. And I think it's the most difficult. Like, it's the most difficult to be truly exceptional at. And that's where they draft him number one overall to be that, right? And It doesn't have to get there after his second year, but we're talking stats last year and team performance, all of it. That was not good, right? I mean, it just wasn't good last year. So there's got to be a pretty significant step forward from him if the Titans are going to start to climb this ladder in the AFC. I just think it's a very difficult thing to do. Now, he's much, on paper, much more well-positioned to do that when you talk about Wandale Robinson coming in. If they've made the right choice with Carnell Tate, I mean, that should obviously be an accelerator here for Cam Ward. So there's things you feel – I mean, Dable, there's things you feel good about that should shape him up to be more successful than he was a year ago. But I still think you're talking about a really hard thing to do, taking a huge jump like that. And I do think, going back to what Kuharsky said in his mailbag, Joe, I think there's probably too much of an assumption that that's just going to happen because of all these things that have taken place. There's probably too much assuming that's going on with that when it comes to Titans fans and what they're talking about with Ward this offseason.
Yeah, and that's just being overly optimistic. It's just what it is.
Which is fine, but I think it's worth acknowledging.
Yeah, but I don't agree with, of course, people who are like, oh, yeah, he's going to be great. We know what we got with him. No, you don't. Also, people who think we know what we got with him, he stinks, it's not going to work. You don't know that.
Agreed.
You don't know that either. We should all agree that, like, this is just a gigantic year of discovery, especially for him.
615-737-1025, our phone number. I'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. You know, Joe, we talked earlier about the person who robbed you being very agile. You know who else is agile? Ian Safar. You just put that speed on display during the commercial break there. It's something to behold, man. He's got an absolute athletic specimen back here.
Yeah, had to take a quick run to the door, let in intern Grayson here during the break. So, you know, quick sprint.
Explosion. Yeah, it was good.
People don't realize what an athlete Ian is.
I agree.
No,
he's not just nimble with his fingers.
No pulled muscles that I can tell.
That's good.
No Achilles, no PCL, no ACL.
Everything's intact.
I think we're good.
That's good.
Nice.
Very good stuff there. Well, Ian, what's your answer to this question? Are you more confident in Saleh or Cam Ward?
That is a good question. I think Cam Ward, but I don't feel great about it. You know, I'm not sure what to think about Saleh going into this situation, because the Jets situation was bad.
Well,
but this situation is not great either. And early on, you know, it's going to take a little bit here to turn it around. The defense will probably be improved. The pass rush feels intriguing to me in his, you know, defensive system. I feel like they did a pretty good job of addressing the defensive personnel, right? Corners, you got some new edge rushers, you got some good rotation on the D-line. So I do think the defense could give Saleh and the Titans a good, you know, floor. And maybe Cam Ward would be kind of like what he does, takes you to the ceiling. So it is going to be a combination here. But I think I feel better about Ward, just with Dable in the offense and being on the same page in year two.
Yeah.
The accuracy thing is definitely something to keep our eye on. How much can he improve accuracy-wise? Most quarterbacks, you don't see that in their career. Josh Allen is the outlier, right? Very rarely do you see anybody improve their accuracy the way Josh Allen did. But Cam Ward is a more natural thrower. So I think accuracy-wise will be better. My biggest issue right now with the offense is the whole option route stuff that they're doing on offense between the wide receivers and the quarterback. How long does that take to get, you know, into a rhythm? Does that mean they start out slowly and it takes them a few games to get on the same page in a new system and how that goes? So I worry about a slow start on offense, and maybe that's where the defense can kind of pick them up early in the season. But to answer your question, I'm not sure I really answered it, because I'm not really sure. I'm not sure I feel great about either, if I'm being honest.
Well, we've gotten a few votes that way that don't really feel great about it. I mean, I will say this, Joe. I mean, I go back to when they hired Saleh. My reaction to it, and I can only speak for me, I was like, oh, okay. I don't know that I was overly excited about it. Now, you know, as time goes on, you take a look at what happened in his first tenure. You take a look at the fact that it was the Jets, and you look at what he's done outside of that organization when he's been in San Francisco as a DC, and you could talk yourself into it, right? Like, you can talk yourself into, well, he was with the New York Jets, and it just, you're just doomed if you're there. But, like, how much better is this situation than what he had with the New York Jets? I would think some, like, as bad as the ownership has been around here, it's not Woody Johnson bad. It's not. So, like, I would think from that standpoint, you're in a better spot. If Cam Ward is what people hope he is, then he'll be the best young quarterback that you've worked with. But I still, like, I go back to when he was hired, my initial reaction was, I don't know, man. I got a lot of questions that need to be answered on the affirmative before I turn into a believer in Robert Saleh.
Yeah, I guess if we're going back to initial reaction, I definitely was more positive / excited about Saleh being hired than Ward being drafted. But with plenty of we'll see with Saleh and plenty of, hey, I mean, it's not like I dislike all of it. Like, there's something there with Cam Ward, but I would, I mean, first reaction, you know, I was more in favor of Saleh being hired as a head coach than I was you know, Ward being drafted. A couple of texts I agree with. One is, texter says, they have to win the Jets game. They'll steer trajectory of the whole season. I agree. That is a very important, like, debut, like, narrative former for, or narrative creator for Saleh and this team. You know, win the game, as you should, at home. Nice start. Hey, you got the layup. You dealt with all the BS about, you know, the history, and you move forward. You lose that game. I mean, look, this town, it jumps to negative because it has been conditioned to jump to negative because the football has been so bad, the management of the football team has been so bad that people are going to go there. This is a long text, but I agree with Jay in Clarksville. I think it's a great point. The best thing Saleh can do for Cam Ward is build a high-floor, mistake-free team around him, solid defense, no self-inflicted losses, all that stuff, because a stable foundation gives him the best chance to succeed. And then if he, you know, if the most likely scenario plays out and he doesn't develop into a franchise QB, now you got a well-built team, and maybe the next quarterback is more attractive to that guy. I agree. You build a solid football team. A good defense is a great friend to a quarterback. So you need offensive weapons. You need a good play caller and OC. You also need a good offensive line, and we're going to see on that. But, yeah, you build all those things around him, and then at some point you're going to make a decision on him. But in the meantime, you're not an embarrassment anymore, and you can actually go out and compete on a weekly basis.
Well, and from his standpoint, how much – I brought this up earlier. It's clear that the last coaching staff was a disaster. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. So, if there's a level of competency with this coaching staff that you just didn't have with the last one, how much of a difference does that make? Coupled with what I think is a better roster. I mean, I don't think. It's a better roster. Now, can they stay healthy? What does it look like? You know, all those things. But it's a better roster. Like, you know, they're unquestionably better at receiver. They're unquestionably better on defense. They've added a lot of people. You know, their front of their defense could end up being good, especially if, like, their selections at edge rusher work out, then they could end up being really good. So they're unquestionably better on paper. But how much does the coaching staff, like, you want a coaching staff that's an accelerator in the NFL, right? Like, you want a coaching staff that takes the good players that you have and maximizes them. I mean, that's the name of the game of coaching. And it sounds simple, but it's a really hard thing to get to in the NFL, to have a coaching staff that can consistently do that. I think you had the other side of that with the last one, where the coaching staff was a detriment. Like, it, you know, the roster was bad. I think the coaching staff was a detriment to the roster as well. So, again, like, I don't know what this staff is. Like, I like the achievement of the people in charge of each position groups, right? Like, I like the achievement of Daboll and what he's brought to the table offensively in this league. Obviously, we know what Saleh's done as a DC. Bones Fossil, very good on special teams. Like, I like the foundation that they've got there. But when it comes to marrying all those things together and just the ins and outs of being a head coach in the National Football League, the day-to-day of it, is he good? Like, has he gotten better from stop one to stop two?
It's funny because I meant to make this joke earlier when we talked about what has he improved on. And I meant to say, I mean, he did find out seed oils are bad.
It's true.
I do have a text here that says, seed oils turned me off to Saleh more than the Jets did. That probably says more about me than it does about him. I will say that I am committing publicly to, I will continue to, when I make Asian dishes, use sesame oil. I'm sorry, Robert Saleh. Also, yeah. I'm a fat guy, so maybe you shouldn't listen to me.
Well, listen, I do know that if they lose, particularly early in the year, there's going to be a lot of people to bring that up.
Oh, God. The seed oil memes and GIFs and jokes and T-shirts are just waiting.
They are
poised and ready.
People in Tennessee still talk about, like, the pee chart that Butch Jones had in the urinals at the football facilities. Like, what color's your pee? Are you properly hydrated? It's like, oh, great. That's awesome. Let's do that. So, yeah. I mean, you're just kind of setting yourself up for that if you're solid talking about the seed oils.
We are. Yeah, this will be one of his, if it fails, this will be one of the things. You know, like you said, there's stuff we talk about with Butch. I mean, my gosh, Pruitt's got some absolute bangers. Yeah,
Dooley in the shower etiquette. I mean, there's a lot.
Dooley in the, exactly.
It's kind of amazing in retrospect the Tennessee football program survived.
I mean, people still on like August 8th bring up Jeff Fisher. You know, these guys are, you have a job like this, you're going to be made fun of. I mean, Bill Belichick might be the greatest coach of all time. My God. My God, how many like jokes for comedians around the world has he manufactured, you know? It's just what it is.
I can assure you that the gap is closing.
There we go.
What's he doing now? Do we know?
He was doing media stuff and not well. And I mean, just, yeah, you know, like, it's just not your bag, dude. I don't know. I think, there's never been a resolution on the, right? There's never been a settlement still with Tennessee, right?
I don't think so.
Waiting on some money. And I mean, at some point he's going to like coach Sims.
I mean, he won didn't he win the preliminary injunction like a few months ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, he won. He won a preliminary injunction prevents the show cause.
The show cause, yeah. Right. So, yeah, he can coach somebody's safeties, right? Get him out there.
Sure. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to. We'll wrap up the show coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. A lot of people don't like Jeremy Pruitt, learning on the text line.
Very mean.
Good to know.
By the way, someone has pointed out to me on my personal text line, someone who we like a lot, who is a very good professional in this town, who works with a total goofball. I won't name any names. Pointing out that Dooley is running for a Senate seat in Georgia. So.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Vote at your own risk, Georgians.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you ever need somebody to, like, if you want to make sure that you've got enough, you know, people to handle something, he'd be the guy for that. I mean, remember the time they needed to stop on defense against LSU, and he sent out 30 people. It's like, wow, Tennessee's entire sideline is on the field for this defensive stand.
He's not going to get outflanked as a coach.
No.
He is not going to. Does this mean that, like, would he require, like, 20 Secret Service members around him if he were an elected official? It's like constantly walking in a big crowd of humanity.
It's fourth down. Did LSU just get totally overwhelmed out there? Oh, wait, Tennessee's got 19 people on the field. How about that?
Good Lord.
Maybe the most egregious too many men on the field I've ever seen.
That's the thing.
It's hilarious because the official, I think, announced it as 12 men on the field. It's like, buddy, you're being awfully generous there. About 16.
There's a call that still stands out, a phone caller. I don't remember what show it was from or even which station it was on, but I remember it still to this day. When they made that hire, someone called up and said, Mike Hamilton just laid a big, fat Dooley. I still remember it.
Well, little did that person know how prophetic they would be.
You know, the thing is, if you're a Tennessee fan right now and you're concerned about Josh Heupel, I understand. It's a huge year for him. There are fair criticisms. Let's keep in perspective what preceded him at Tennessee. I mean, the trifecta of those guys, of the Dooley, Butch, Pruitt trifecta. I'd love to know how many college football programs have had three hires like that in a row. Especially a program as good as Tennessee, right?
I don't know, man. You remember when he was coaching from a stool on the sideline because he had hip surgery? He had hip surgery, he was coaching from a stool on the sideline. It's still one of the greatest things in the history of Google Images. I'm pulling it up right now. It's just amazing. Orange pants with a stool on the sideline.
Yeah, the orange pants. But I really like Jeremy Pruitt's Sherpa look, though. I mean,
Who was it that coached from the hospital bed, like in the booth upstairs?
That was Hugh.
Is that Hugh Freeze?
That was, yeah, absolutely. Up there, you know, calling plays, ordering stuff from, you know, hospital food.
You know, this is what college football used to be. And this is what they're trying to take away from us with all this professionalization of stuff, you know?
Right. We have to sit here every day and talk about the suits and these goofball, which I'm sure we can get into some this week. But by the way, like, that bill's going really well, guys.
Oh, yeah.
It's going great. Apparently, Cody Campbell just wrote the whole thing. It's really, really going well. But, yeah, exactly. We need more of the personalities like this and the goofiness and weirdness of college football and get away from the courtroom and Washington.
Which one was the worst? Dooley, Pruitt, or Butch? I mean, Butch is objectively not the worst. I mean,
Butch put together some good teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who was worse, Dooley or Pruitt? Very different in the likability scale. Dooley was likable.
Dooley was likable. I think Dooley is not a complete doofus. So,
hey, Blake, that orange marker over there is the first down marker. You gain 10 yards, and that's how you get a first down.
Yeah. That's
great, Coach. You want to try doing that at some point?
But, you know, the funny thing is, when they hired Dooley, it was also like, really? I mean, it was so much his dad's Vince Dooley, whereas Pruitt is the D coordinator of a national champion. So, like, in terms of, like, and by the way, the Pruitt hire also was done at the end of one of the wildest searches of all time.
Yeah.
So, like, in terms of, like, the choice, it was like, wow, Philip Fulmer actually kind of saved this by getting Jeremy Pruitt. Whereas the Dooley hire, and you guys can tell me a lot better because I wasn't down here, but, like, the national response was, oh, Vince Dooley has a kid named Derek?
Yeah.
Who's that?
It felt like they tried to go so hard.
I know he had been a head coach. But
he's a La Tech. It felt like they tried to go so hard and, like, in opposition to Kiffin that's what they ended up with. It's like we can't hire anybody within the same scope of Kiffin, so we got to do this.
That is true, and yeah, actually, you could really make it the quadruple of those four.
Yeah,
since Fulmer, but I mean Pruitt or Kiffin was at least like he was good in his 1 year.
He was. Who we got tonight? Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Do you want to select anymore?
I mean, yeah, I'm bad. I'll take the Knicks. How about that? Give me the Knicks.
I think the Knicks too, but I actually believe it. Like, I think they go out 3-0 tonight, and Ian's going to come in here just jovial in the morning. It'll be hard to knock the smile off Ian's face tomorrow. That's my prediction.
Yeah, go New York, go New York, go, or whatever. Stilly, who's always on top of the politics, says Dooley got crushed in the primary. So
there you go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
What an absolute, what a tool. I mean, Kaharski. Oh, I like the Knicks now. Basketball.
He was giving it to you on Friday night via text message. Yeah. He's a big Knicks guy now.
This dude, he thinks like Dave DeBuscher still plays for the Knicks. Get out of here.
He's got, I'm maybe counting on a Knicks t-shirt for Kaharski coming in on Wednesday.
Probably.
I'll be disappointed if not.
He'll have the big foam finger. Yeah. He'll be trying to look like Spike Lee in the studio.
That'll be good. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We wish everybody great safety out there. Remember to lock your car doors. When you're getting gas at the gas pump, that's something we learned on the show today.
We did learn that today.
Absolutely. We will be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Next Man Up is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.